was down by the river this week, and I looking for a place for baptism. And there were two fishermen there that were fishing. And they pulled in two salmon, probably about this long. And boy, I was ready to come home, go get my fishing license, go fishing. We know the account about the salmon. I want to refresh our memory with the salmon. I want to challenge us with that this thought. My message this morning is
survival.
Survivor. Being a survivor is what I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning. The salmon, they hatch out in eggs, in their little streams, upstream, little bitty places up in the mountains you'll find. They hatch out, and they little bitty fish. And they stay there for a little while, and then they begin to migrate towards the ocean. And they spend several years, like 5, 6, 7, sometimes 7 years out in the ocean, growing and maturing. And then they come back home, and they start their journey home. Now these salmon are, the Sandy M right here, we're a little ways from the ocean. So those fish have had to come all the way from the Pacific coast. They've swam all this way. I was thinking about those fish, and I thought about those two, that those two didn't quite make it all the way back home. They saw something that caught their attention. They went after. And they got caught on the line. And I saw them reel them in and pull them in. And they stuck a big rope, a stringer on them, and threw them back out in the water. And they're not going to likely make it home all the way. There are many, many salmon today that are hatched, that are eggs, that are hatched out into little fish. And they go out to the ocean, they come back, but there are very, very few that make it home. There are a lot of things between here and there. There are a lot of predators between here and there. And not very many of them make it. And the fisherman told me, he said, if you catch a salmon that is not scarred, you've caught a rare thing. They've got scars. They've got places where seals have come in, and the seals will just go and take a bite, rip their flesh off, and just leave them. And a few years ago, my son and I, we went hunting over near the coast, and we were up in the hills, the mountains, and we saw this little stream, and there was a little bridge down there, and it was very narrow. But there was these big salmon down in that little stream that had come. And they were battle scarred. They had places of their flesh that was missing. You could tell that they had gone through quite a bit to get where they're at, to get home. And I speak that this morning because not everybody that gets saved makes it home. Not everyone that professes the name of the Lord will make it into heaven. The Scripture says, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are many today that start out. There are many this morning that they get started and they give their hearts and their lives to God. But there are very, very few when it comes down to it that really make it in to hearing the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, modern day Christianity will tell you that they just kind of present the thought, just confess the name of the Lord and you'll be all right. Once you're saved, you're always saved, you're set. I want to say I don't believe the Scriptures bear that out this morning. The Scripture said, so run that you might obtain. That lets me know that we need to respond and we need to learn how to survive. We want to be a spiritual survivor. We want to know, we don't want to just start in the race. We don't want to just go for a little while. We don't want to just go for a period of time. But we want to be able to endure. We want to be able to go the length. It's not just a short sprint. It's not just a 100-yard dash. It's a lifelong race and commitment. It's a long-distance run. It takes a lot. You know, when that long-distance run, those runners don't just run full blast. When they know that they've got a mile or over a mile to run, they've got to pace themselves. They've got to set a good pace. Sometimes they just try to run so hard. And I had a friend that did that in school. One time he just took off and he had a long run and he was gonna just run full speed all the way. And he got so many laps around and pretty soon he started wearing down. And he took a big lead and looked like, whoa, he was leaving everybody behind. But pretty soon they started passing him up. They started going behind him and coming around him. And pretty soon it ended up where he was way last when it looked like he had such a great start. Folks, this is a long distance this morning. And we want to learn how to survive. We want to learn how to be what God wants us to be. We want to be able to stay in the race and fight a good fight and be able to finish the course that God has called us to. Those salmon this morning, there are very few that make it all the way back home. The salmon, they have an instinct. There's an inner desire. There's something that God has put within them. And they have a very strong sense of being able to detect the water. They say the salmon can detect a tablespoon of salt in a big swimming pool of water. That's amazing to me. Just a teaspoon of salt in a big swimming pool of water, a salmon can detect that. And he recognizes where home's at. You know, we need that also in our spiritual lives. We need discernment. We need to recognize where evil is. We need to recognize where the flesh wants to go. We need to recognize temptation for what it is. And to be able to recognize, no, that's not the Lord's course. That's not what the Lord wants me to do. If we don't have that discernment, if we walk after the flesh, and we fulfill the desires of the flesh, we're going to miss the mark. We're going to fail to be what God wants us to be. And our likelihood of being able to make heaven our home at the end of our journey is going to be less if we lack in discernment and recognize. We need the Lord to help us to have our sensitivity tuned in to what God is wanting for us in our lives. We just can't go through life blindfolded. We just can't go through life just pushing a button when it comes time to make decisions. We got to be down on our knees. We got to be praying and earnestly seeking God. Lord, what do you want me to do? There's a scripture that talks about it. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. There are things that look right to us, to our natural standpoint, but can have spiritual dangers to us if we're not cautious and not aware that our own thoughts sometimes will get us into trouble if we rely upon it too much. We need the Lord's help in our hearts and our minds. I think about also, there's been, they teach what they call survival skills. You've heard of that probably. Those are good. As far as the natural man goes, there have been people that have been stuck, trapped in hardship. There have been people that have been lost out in the wilderness, out in the woods. I read about an account of these two Men in Texas just a few weeks ago, they were out on this boat out on the Gulf, and their boat started taking on water, and they were tied. They were actually fishing. They were tied to this big derrick type thing, and they saw that their boat was taking on water. So they unloosed the boat from where that was tied, and they thought, well, if we start the boat up, pull the plug, we can get the water out and everything will be okay. But they couldn't get the boat started. And the boat started taking on more water. And then their boat was drifting from that derrick that was out there that they had it tied to. And their boat went down. They had life jackets. One man survived, and one man didn't survive. They were out there for several days before somebody found them. We need to learn some survival skills spiritually. We need, because there's things that are going to happen. In our spiritual lives, in our journey, we need to learn how to survive spiritually. You know, this morning, if everybody had been saved, if we could get everybody in here this morning that had been saved, that just in this area alone, this building couldn't hold everybody. Many start out. Many go for a little ways. But there are many snares, many things that happen along the way. You know, the devil has snares. He has things that he's going to bring before our eyes that look good, that look enticing to the natural man, that look like, oh, this is what you want to do, this is what you want to follow. And it's a snare. Better be careful. The Scripture says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. He's got things that, and if we think we're exempt from this, we're in trouble already. If we think that Satan doesn't have his eyes set upon us, me as an individual, you, Satan has, Jesus told Peter, behold, Satan had desire to sift you as wheat. If we don't recognize that this morning, that Satan is going to use snares, he's going to bring things in front of us, he's going to do what he can to keep us. Why? He doesn't want you and I to make it home. He doesn't want you and I to make it to heaven. He would rather get you and I deceived. He would rather get you and I in a place of being lost, away from God, so He can have us. And Jesus told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. Said your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. He is after us this morning. He has snares. He has entrapments. Lord, help us today to be watchful, to live carefully, to be on our guard. You know, the nature, animals, deer, birds, they're always watching. They always turn around looking. They're always on the move. What's going on around me? What's happening? Why is that? Their life is at stake. Their life is dependent upon that. If they don't watch, they become a prey. You know, it's the same way with us. If you and I don't watch, if we don't pray, if we're not in tune with God, we become a prey. We become a casualty. And we fail to survive and be what God wants us to be. We need some survival skills spiritually. We need some to recognize there are things, those people that are lost out in the woods. What do you need what do you need to live on? You need some water. You need warmth. There's some basic things that you need to live. And if you don't have those things, if you don't have warmth, we've all heard of hypothermia, what hypothermia is it sets in, it gives disillusionment. There's no warmth to the body. The body loses its temperature. It causes disillusionment. You know, a person that is experiencing hypothermia, they begin to speak out of their head. They begin to do things that don't make sense. Bad decisions, bad choices. And you know, people do that spiritually. People get in places where they begin to make bad choices and bad decisions spiritually. And you think, why did they do that? They're not thinking rationally. There's a spiritual hypothermia. Lord, help us today to learn how to survive. How to be a survivor. How to be able to make it all the way in, all the way to the final last. There are things that you and I can do to help you and I to be a survivor. I wanted to get a scripture in Acts 11th chapter in the 23rd verse. Acts 11 and 23. This is a message that Barnabas, I believe, preached to them. It says in verse 23, it says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." This was a message that Barnabas gave to the early church when he saw the believers. He was encouraged with that he saw the grace of God. He saw God working in their hearts and in their lives. But he said, he exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, that they would attach themselves to the Lord. I want to mention just briefly about this purpose of heart. Folks, you're going to have to make up your mind, your decision. That's a big part of the battle this morning. I can't tell you to do it. I try to encourage you. But you yourself are going to have to make a choice in life, a decision of which way you're going to go and how you're going to live your life. And there are a lot of different choices. There are a lot of different things that you can do. I think about Joshua when he told the people, he said, "How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If Baal is God, serve him. If the Lord is God, then serve him." You're halting. You're going back between two different choices. You don't get anywhere spiritually halting between two decisions. You get in trouble spiritually. That's a place where the enemy begins to work when your heart is divided. You want to serve the Lord, and yet at the same time, you want the world also. And folks, that's what modern Christianity today is doing. They try to serve the Lord with one hand, and yet they try to reserve all these other worldly things that cater to the flesh that are not good for spiritual life, and they try to hold on to that too. And they're trying to run this race, and they want to make heaven their home. I want to say, you're not going to be a survivor by doing that. The enemy's going to get you. The enemy's going to take advantage of you. He said that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. You've got a purpose in your heart and your mind. I'm through with the world. Goodbye, old world. There's a song that says, "Goodbye, old world. I'm through." Folks, the world doesn't have anything to offer. Is there temptations? Yes. Does it have an attraction? Yes. Does it look appealing? Yes. Is there many people following after it? Yes, yes, yes. Many today are following the ways of the world. Many are just caught up with the flow and the way and the direction that our people are going. And it's going downstream. It's not going the right direction. And it's going the way of the world. You can't follow in that and expect to make heaven your home. Those salmon, they have to go upstream to make it back. They've got to go against the current to get back. We've got to set it in our minds that way also. I can't fit in with everything. I can't go along with everything that's presented to me. I can't live a double life. I can't have a double standard. I can't live for Christ one way when I'm around the saints and in another way when I'm around the worldly people. We've got to be sold. We've got to be made our decision. He said, how long will you hold? I tell you, that will give you some spiritual surviving strength if you make up your heart and your mind. I'm going to live for God. Regardless of what the cost is, regardless of what the price is, I'm going to serve Him and follow Him. If I'm not there, I'm going to get there. I'm going to pray until the Lord gives me strength and gives me help. But we have to have that purpose of heart, cleaving unto God with purpose of heart. The devil today is trying to get your affections. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to just half-heartedly serve God. Oh, just partially, just part of the time. Lord, help us today to cleave to God with all of our heart, with purpose of heart, that they would cleave unto the Lord. And without that this morning, we're not going to make it. Without that, there's too many predators. There's too many things this morning that's going to intervene between now and then if we don't make that decision. And I want to say, you may think, well, I made that decision a long time ago. But I want to say there are going to be times that you have to consecrate. There are going to be times that you come up against things that you're going to have to consecrate yourself to God and say, Lord, this don't look very easy, but I'm going to follow Your way regardless of how it costs me, regardless of what the stake is for us. That's learning how to be a survivor spiritually. People that try to live for the Lord with a divided heart, pretty soon something comes along and boom. You know, you see them on fire one time. Oh, they got a testimony and the Lord's blessing their lives. And then you see them 2 or 3 years later and you say, well, where's Brother so-and-so? Where are they at? Oh, they're not coming to service anymore. They're back rebuilding the things that they destroyed at one time out of their lives. You know, the verse says that if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Don't go back and build the bridges that you tore down to please the Lord in times past. When the Lord was dealing with you and talking to you, and you burned those bridges down and because you didn't want to go back there, and you got rid of those things that pertain to the flesh and the world. I want to caution us. If you go start building those things again, that's a warning signal. That's a warning sign. Don't build those things that you one time destroyed in your endeavor to live for God and serve Him. That ought to caution us. You know, when they came across the Jordan River, they put a memorial there. They put those stones to help them to remember where they came from. The Lord didn't want them to go back and live. When we go back to those places, those memorials, I'm not saying you can't be reminded of seeing them, but let's not go past them. Let's recognize this is what the Lord saved me from. This is what the Lord helped me with. And let's be able to follow that. But He said that they, with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. The Lord needs a heart this morning. It's not a successful Christian life if the heart is missing out of it. A form doesn't accomplish anything, does it? You know, a good routine, living a good moral life, and the heart is really not in serving the Lord, you're not going to have the peace and the joy that you one time had. It's got to have the heart in it. Let's cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart this morning. Another survival skill I wanted to mention this morning is humility. So important in our spiritual life. There's a scripture in 1 John that says, "My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." The standard of God wants us to live without sin. He doesn't want us to accept sin in our lives. He does not want us to live in sin. Romans, he said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He said, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" The standard is high this morning. If you should come short, if you should fail somewhere along the journey in your life and fail to be what God wants you to be, and you sin or you make a mistake, the biggest help, one of the biggest factors that's going to help you to be a spiritual survivor is when you're willing to humble yourself and acknowledge, "I failed. I came short of what God wanted me to be." There's another verse that says, "If we confess our sin, he that hideth his sin shall not prosper." But if we confess our sins and forsake our sins, he said, we shall have mercy. You and I want to say this, when there is a failure, you know, many people have lost their way because of failure. They failed some way along, some way or another. They made a failure, made a mistake, came up short. And the devil began to accuse them. The enemy comes in. He says, "Well, you see, you're not even saved. You failed. And you're probably not even saved." And the enemy begins to work on a person's mind. And they get discouraged and they get down. They feel like, "Well, I can't do it. I can't make it. I failed." Do you know there have been a lot of people this morning that have lost their way through failure and discouragement? I'm going to say the survival tactic is to be able to humble ourselves before God and before our fellow man. If we've failed some person or done something to another person, to go up to them and look them in the eye and say, "I'm sorry. I was wrong for the way I treated you. Would you please forgive me? I was wrong for what I said. I was wrong for what I did. Would you please forgive me?" And ask the Lord's forgiveness. And then when you've done that, when you've humbled your heart, but if we don't humble our heart, if we take the attitude and say, "Oh, they deserved it anyway. They got what was coming to them. Or I was right in this matter. And I wasn't wrong." And we don't humble ourselves. I tell you, there are a lot of people that have lost their way because they failed to humble themselves before God and to acknowledge, I failed. I made a mistake." I want to say this morning, the Lord, there's healing when we fail. The Lord can put it back together and the Lord can work it out. Sister Marcia one time mentioned about how she made a failure and she was pretty crushed over it and discouraged about it. And her mother told her, said, "Marcia, it said if you were walking along and you fell in a mud puddle, you fell down in the mud, you slipped and you fell and you were in the mud puddle, what would you do?" And she said, well, it was her grandmother. "Grandma," she said, "I'd get up, I'd kind of brush myself off and go in and get cleaned up, and I'd go on." That's what she would do. That's what she would do. Well, she said, "That's what you need to do. If you fail, if you come short, you know, as humans, what would it look like if we drove down the road and we saw somebody over there and there was a big mud puddle and they were sitting in the mud puddle? What would we think?" That'd be quite a picture, wouldn't it? See somebody sitting right there in the mud. "What are you doing down there? What are you doing in that mud puddle?" "Oh, I slipped and fell." "You did." "Well, Why are you still there? But we do that spiritually. We slip and fail. We get in the mud. We get dirty. And would we stay there spiritually? We do that. Oh, I can't go on. I failed. Yes, we can go on. The Lord can help us. That's what He's for, Savior. He's our helper. He's our friend. And all we have to do is, Lord, you remember Peter when he was sinking beneath the waves? Peter made some mistakes, didn't he? But what did he say? He began to sink beneath the waves. His failure, he took his eyes off the Lord. And what did the Lord? The Lord stretched out His hand. The Lord didn't want to let him drown. The Lord's that way to us. If we fail, yeah, it's discouraging. I've made some failures in my Christian journey. They don't feel very good. We don't like it when we make failures. But the secret is to ask forgiveness, to humble ourselves, get cleaned up, and go on. That's how you're going to be a survivor. People that sit there in the mud puddle, spiritually, they don't survive. And there are many, many people today that if we would talk to today and ask them, why aren't you living for the Lord today like you used to be? How come you're not encouraged in the Lord like you were at one time? You know, I believe many of them you could trace back to a failure that was in their life somewhere along the way. And they got discouraged. And the devil came in, began to whisper to them, oh, your life is just a failure. The devil ever told you that? He hadn't told you that. He's told me that many, many times. Bob, you're just a failure. You failed. You might as well quit preaching. No, people aren't really listening to you. You might as well sit down in your seat. That's the devil. That's the enemy. You know, there's been a few times that I've been struggling and feel like maybe I don't need to be preaching anymore. Maybe I need to just sit down but it wasn't really what I chose myself. I felt like the Lord called me. And you know, I recognize that's just the devil. That's just the enemy. And when I began to humble myself and follow on with the Lord, it became very evident. That was the devil. Sometimes he appears as an angel of light. You know, sometimes the devil will use scriptures to accuse us and to crush us down and to belittle us. Lord, help us to be able to go on. I'm thinking about also fellowship this morning. The people that we hang around, the people that we're friends with. Now, I believe this morning. When I gave my heart, my life to the Lord, I had to separate myself from my worldly friends that I once went with. Not very easy. Not very easy. Somebody that you've been friends with. You did things together. You had good times together with them. And now, I can't do that. Very important for you in your spiritual, if you want to be a survivor spiritually. I'm not saying don't be friendly with everybody. But I'm talking about those that you fellowship, those that you're close to, those that you spend time with. And it's not that we shouldn't spend time with those that are not saved and those that are away from God. I believe we should. I believe we should. But I believe you know what I'm talking about this morning. There's a line. Fellowship. fellowship means that you're kind of going the same direction, the same course. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, two are better than one. For if one falls down and he has not another to help him up, woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. Let me get that scripture. I'm not quoting it just right. Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, that he hath not another to help him up. You know, I would say the devil will do what he can to isolate you to yourself. That's what wolves do. That's what lions do. When they're going in for a prey, they separate. They look for the weak. They look for one that they can get. And they separate them from the herd. You know the devil's like that? The devil's going to try to separate you. He's going to try to get you to yourself. He's going to try to get you fighting your battles just all by yourself. And the scripture here said, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, we need to have people in our lives that we can pray with. People that we can share our hearts with. People that we can open up to. You know, I want to say, Brother Clifford Wilson, he was my first pastor. And I was a young man when I first started, when I got saved when I was 18. But he helped me in so many ways that I wouldn't have made it. Not only him, but there were others in the congregation that I was able to pray with and I was able to talk to. You know, I'm struggling here. I've got this battle. Would you pray for me? I'm struggling with this issue. Could we pray together? Could we have an agreement of prayer together? There is strength in that. Now the devil, he tries to separate people from the flock. He'll try to cause hurts even among the family of God. He'll cause people to say things. He'll do whatever he can to drive wedges. He'll cause people to get hurt and offended. You know what people do? What do you do when you're hurt and offended? The natural tendencies begin to withdraw. Just to myself. I'm hurt and offended. Animals do that all the time that have been injured. They go alone. We kind of tend to do that as people. We withdraw. And I've noticed that. I don't usually want to talk to very many people when I've been hurt and offended. But we need people. We need the children of God. We need fellowship. We need those that we have confidence in. And the Lord, I've seen that work through that in my life many times. And I don't feel like I'd be here this morning if I hadn't had that. I don't believe I would be here this morning. I believe that's a vital, important part of being a spiritual survivor. Of making it long term. Of staying in the race. Year after year, of being able to have that fellowship. Another scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, the devil, he does so many things, he causes people to get hurt and offended, and people say things that shouldn't be said, I want to say, even around the family of God. Mistakes are made. People say things. They have the wrong thought, the wrong idea, and mistakes are made. And the devil says, you see there, those people there, they don't really care for you, and they're not really interested in you, and he just begins to drive wedges. And the purpose of that is to isolate you. If he can isolate you, begin to isolate you in your mind and your spirit. Here he said, two is better than one. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. If the devil can get you by yourself and you fall. We were talking about suicides a little bit before service this morning. A person that comes to the place, you know what the devil does to them? He isolates them in their mind. I don't have anyone else I can go to. There's no one else I can... That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the enemy. He wants us to be able to fellowship and have those that we can pray with. And I've been offended. I've been hurt by different things that have been said sometimes. And there have been times that I didn't feel like going to service. But I want to be a survivor. People, and that's another thing we've got to do, is go against what our feelings are many times. When our feelings stand in the way of responsibility and doing what's right, we've got to go against what our feelings are telling us and do the faithful, responsible, dependable thing when we don't feel like it. If we just get in the habit of following our feelings, you're not going to be a survivor in the Christian race. Because offenses happen. I don't care what kind of environment. You can be raised in the best Christian family. But I want to say there's offenses in the world. Things happen. Sometimes they come from the children of God and sometimes they come from the world. But things happen. They do in a family, don't they? The brother and sister sometimes hurt each other? Sure they do. That's not a time to forsake the assembling of yourselves together and forsake fellowship. I got my feelings hurt. If they're going to be that way, let them have it. And they just began to go on their own. I tell you what, you won't be a survivor going that way. Yeah, my feelings are hurt. Maybe they said something that I didn't like. But I want to be faithful. I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to be dependable. Let's be a survivor this morning. Let's be a spiritual survivor. There have been people that have read about one guy that he got his leg caught between two rocks way out in the boonies. Nobody knew where he was at. That's a mistake, isn't it? Let people know where you're at. Let people know where you're going, what you're going to be doing. But he was way out there. Nobody knew where he was at. He fell. He got his leg caught in a crevice. In days, he was out there. This man ended up taking his own leg off. Pocket knife. Took his leg off. Was able to get a tourniquet or something. And was able to make it to his truck. But he survived. He lost a limb. But he survived. Being a survivor is going to take some drastic steps on our part sometimes. And I think about the scripture that talks about if your hand offend thee, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. For it's better that one of your members perish than that the whole body perish. There are times that you and I will have to take drastic measures to save our own soul. Painful. Sometimes it's going to take drastic measures to save the life of our family. And we need to recognize that if we want to survive. And it's that way spiritually. There are times that you just got to cut things off that will hinder you. That will hinder you in your journey. You got to cut it off. The Lord doesn't do that for you. We have a will. But Lord, help us, teach us how to be a survivor. Teach us to learn how. The skills that we need. That when I get to the end, I may have some scars. I may have some parts, body parts missing. But I can hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not all those salmon make it all the way back home. Lord, help us this morning to be a survivor. Help us to put our heart into it. Help us to be willing to humble ourselves and do whatever it takes to be a survivor. And the Lord will help us. Amen.